Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks again for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this last weekend of the month of April. My time really gets away, and it seems the older I get, the faster time seems to go by, although it really doesn't. It's the same every day and every week and every month, but there's just something about getting older that makes it seem that way. I appreciate you listening today. And I hope that you enjoy the remainder of my dad's sermon titled Contending for the Faith. And I also would ask you to pray for me as I am speaking at Willow Hill Community Church in Willow Hill, Illinois on this weekend, April the 26th. And then May 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to travel to Princeton, Indiana to the First General Baptist Church. And then we're going to be right into our camp meeting season. And we'll start in our camp meeting season after the month of May. We have one other revival meeting scheduled in the month of May at Springfield Methodist Protestant Church in Thomasville, Alabama. That's May 17 through 19. And then the camp meeting season begins. So I do need your prayers as I travel. Prayers for the financial needs of this ministry to be met, and God has always been faithful. It's truly amazing. Down through the years, we've been faith-based, listener-supported, never had a commercial sponsor. So that's because you, the listening audience, believe in what's going on here on this radio program. So I hope you'll take just a few minutes and write me a letter and enclose a gift if you can. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. I also have a website, lomanministries.org, and you can give electronically through Venmo or PayPal on the website, lomanministries.org. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to once again bring this program to the listening audience. Thank you for the radio stations who so kindly allowed us to be on their station, and some of them are secular stations, and we never know who we're touching because we're on a secular station. Thank you for the Christian stations that air the program as well. And I pray for the churches as they gather this week. I pray that you'd bless those who are shut in and won't get to go to church. Be with them, I pray. I ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
I saw what lay before me, Lord, I cried, what will you do? I thought he would just remove it, but he gently led me through. Without fire, there's no refining. Without pain, no relief. Without flood, there's no rescue. Without testing, no belief.
Morrison Park Camp Meeting, Glasgow, Kentucky, several years ago. And this particular night, Clay Milby was the singer, bless his memory. And Clay sang, and a little saint of God down here stood up. She didn't move out of her place, didn't say a word. All she did just wave her handkerchief back and forth, back and forth. And that generated a spiritual stir in that tabernacle, and folk got to testifying. And it was my night to preach, and I just kept my seat. 8:15, 8:30, 8:45, I just kept my seat, and they were still testifying. Finally, beloved, I saw an opportunity to give an invitation, gave the invitation, had several people at the altar. And on the way to the cottage that night, one of the other individuals said to me, "Brother Loman, you're going to be in trouble with the camp board. They expect you to preach regardless of what goes on." I said, "I want to tell you now, if they don't want me to mind the Lord, there's a train that goes back to North Carolina in the morning, and I'll catch the train and go home. I'm not going to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about, beloved, a faith that embraces deep spirituality to where we let the Holy Spirit control things, move in our midst." I was preaching in a large church in southern Illinois. And one night the singer sang, and a little saint of God stood up down there. She looked like an angel. She just, her face just glowed. You know, that pastor looked around at me and he turned as pale as a ghost. He said, "Harold, you think you can handle this?" I said, "Handle what?" He said, "Well, this thing's liable to get out of hand. We got a lot of wildfire around here." I said, "Man, I've seen so little fire around here, I'd welcome a little wildfire to warm things up. And I go to a lot of places we could stand a little bit more fire." Amen. I'm talking about, beloved, a faith. The kind of faith, beloved, that lets you know what Paul, and when he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin live no longer therein? For sin shall not have dominion or power over you, for you're not under law but under grace. Having therefore been made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and in the end everlasting life, and face this frowning world and testify that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. For the law of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us." You say, "Preacher Loman, how can I get that?" Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be a transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." I'm talking about the kind of faith this evening, beloved, that makes you know something's taken place down in the inner recesses of your soul, and you belong to him. He's yours. You know him. The owl Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the wonderful, the counsel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. And you wouldn't thank an angel to tell you about it, because his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you belong to the family of God. We need to contend for a faith that's worth fighting for. Worth fighting for. Did you know, friend, tonight there's too many people, and I don't mean to sound judgmental, but there's too many people that are not willing to get involved in the fight of building the kingdom. They want to stay out on the periphery, out on the sideline. They want to control the activities of the church, but they don't want to get involved in the business of kingdom building. They never go to prayer meeting. They never go Sunday night. And when revival comes and their club meets during revival, you know which one gets priority? The club. Mister, you're not involved in the fight if that's the way you live. Lady, you don't know what the battle is. That's the way you live. We need some people that will get involved in the fight of contending for the faith. You look at the Apostle Paul, saved on the Damascus Road, sanctified on the street called Straight, and spent the major portion of his years after that behind prison bar. Not because he'd committed a felony or a misdemeanor, not because he was a criminal, but because he got involved in the fight. Had a street meeting down there, beloved, at Philippi, stirred up the devil's crowd, and got thrown in prison. And the jailer, having a charge to keep them safely, put them in the inner prison and bound their feet and hands in the stocks. But Paul and Silas had a direct communique with the glory. They prayed and sang praises to God at midnight. Well, you can't get a lot of professed holiness people to come sing praises to God at 7:30 Wednesday night. Must lift midnight. You say, Brother Loman, that's not very popular. I'm not courting popularity. I'll tell you that now. And beloved, hear me. God answered from the glory and shook that old prison and shook those stocks, and the doors fell off their hinges. That jailer was going to kill himself, but Paul said, wait a minute. We're all here. Do thyself no harm. You know what happened that night. They took Paul out one day and stoned him and left him to die out there at the edge of the city. And I can hear that crowd now say, we won't be bothered with that preacher anymore. It won't be long till the fowls will pick the flesh from his bones and his bones will bleach in the sun. But they forgot one thing, that the God that saved him on the Damascus Road was looking on. And God dispatched an angel from the glory down there to that field and ministered to Paul's bruises and his wounds. And Paul looked at a blood-stained garment and bruised body and got up and mustered up enough strength and summed it up something like this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For if we suffer with him, we'll also reign with him. Beloved, getting involved in the fight. I wish I could stay there, but I must go on. Hear me, friend, tonight. We need to contend for a faith that brings reward. Faith that brings reward. You go with me in your imagination for a moment. Down a winding staircase and listen to the jailer. Paul? Paul. Paul says, yes. Paul, the hours of execution has come. The executioner's waiting. You'll have to go now. And I hear Paul say, I'm writing a letter. Could I finish it? And the jailer gives him that permission. And he picks up that pen and he continues his letter to Timothy. Timothy, and I paraphrase to a degree, they've come for me. I got to go now. But Timothy, whatever you do, don't ever be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. And really don't feel sorry for me because I'm his prisoner. Whatever you do, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and make full proof of your ministry. He said, Timothy, I'm going now, but Timothy, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and not to me only, but to them also that love his appearing. He signed his benediction and handed the scroll to the jailer and said, see that my friend gets that. And out to the executioner's block, and by the time his head hit the basket, he was in the blissful presence of his Lord. Listen, friend, I want to tell you tonight, there is reward for faith. Listen, I'm through. These two simple incidents. I was in Detroit, Michigan, in revival several years ago. One night after the first service, Dr. Ralph Cleveland, who was pastor of the church, he reprimanded a lady in his church who had gotten out of bed and came to church that night. The doctor had diagnosed her condition as deterioration of the spinal column that was to be a terminal illness. And I heard him reprimand her for getting out of bed, coming to church. I saw that lady stand there and sob out loud. She said, Dr. Cleveland, I've prayed so long for revival in our church, and I prayed that God would give me strength to come to meeting tonight, and I don't think I'll be any the worse for coming. The next day we had a noonday prayer meeting in that church. Dr. Cleveland said, Brother Loman, the lady that was at church last night's back in bed today. We're going out to see her. And I went with him, walked into that room, and that lady, her neighbor lady, was with her. That lady said to me, Brother Loman, if you and my pastor have come out here to pray that God will heal me, I don't want you to do it. She said, I'm so resigned to his will to lay here on this bed, use my telephone, witness to my neighbors and my friends about the glorious experience of heart holiness and full salvation. She said, I want God's will to be done, and if it's his will that I lay here until he takes me home, I'm resigned to his will. I said, lady, you're the kind of person God could really do something for. I said, because most people want to get well right now. But she said, no, that's not the way I feel about it. We visited a while, read some scripture. We anointed her with oil, and Dr. Cleveland prayed. I didn't feel that anything unusual took place, but we did some calling in the home that we were entertained in for the evening meal when we arrived. The lady of the house said, Dr. Cleveland, your wife Joanne wants you to call the parsonage. And he called the parsonage, and his wife said, Ralph, the most amazing thing happened this afternoon. The lady that you and Brother Loman went to visit, that's been so sick and suffered so much with the deterioration of the spinal column, she called me 15 minutes after you left her house and said, Joanne, God has healed me. Every bit of the pain's gone. And right now, that pastor's wife said, she's down here in the next block now with her neighbor lady knocking on doors, handing out revival circulars. And beloved, hear me. That's been nearly 15 years ago, and a friend of mine in one of the Florida camp meetings not too long ago said to me, Brother Loman, as far as they can determine, they've never found a trace of that deterioration. You know what that is? That's a reward of faith. That's a reward of faith. Now remember, well, and I want you young people to get this. Our oldest son, Larry, the year that he graduated from high school, sitting at the dinner table one day, said to me, he said, I'd like to go out of the state for a sporting event. I didn't think that his car would make the trip, and I said, no, son, I don't want you to go. And I never had one of my children, now hear me out, I never had one of my children to blade out at me like he did. And I sat there and listened to him as he went on a tirade. Think of me what you will, but hear me out. While he was just really taking me over the coals, he said, all we talk about is God and prayer and revival and church. And he said, I'll be so glad when I get away from home. And I just bowed my head. I said, Lord, help me to keep sweet right now. Just help me to keep sweet right now. And when Larry finished his tirade, I said, son, are you through? He said, I suppose so. I said, I know you want to get away from home. I know that you want to get out on your own. But I said, the day that you go, the time will come that you'll get so homesick, you'd give anything to eat at mother's table and sleep in the bed upstairs. He said, I'll take a chance on that. I saw our boy board the bus after he graduated from high school and took him to the United States Navy. He'd write occasionally, but I could read between the lines he was homesick, but he'd never admit it. 4 years he saw the world. We prayed for him every day. I committed him to the Lord. Beloved, one day, I was pastoring at the time, my phone rang, the operator said, "Will you accept a call from James L. Loman?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." He came on the line, there was a noise in the background. He said, "Hi, Dad." I said, "Hi, son, where are you?" He said, "500 miles out to sea." He said, "I'll be in Norfolk, Virginia Tuesday morning, and I get to come home for 21 days. Will you meet me there?" I said, "The Lord will, and I'll be there." I happened to be a chaplain in the Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary of the Air Force, and I wore my uniform that morning to help facilitate matters getting on the officer's parking dock. And I pulled on the parking base, and the USS DuPont pulled up in up there, and there was our son, Larry, up on the helm of that ship. I got on board the ship and helped him get his things together. We were coming down through Charlottesville, Virginia, and I thought Larry had gone to sleep. And all of a sudden, he laid his hand over on my knee and put his head on my shoulder and cried like a baby. He said, "Dad, you know, I'm proud of you." I said, "Son, I appreciate that, but why'd you say that?" He said, "You remember before I went in the Navy that day that I told you that I'd be glad when I got away from home, that all we talked about was church, God, revival, and prayer?" I said, "Yeah, I remember." He said, "Pop, down there in the Mediterranean area, there were nights that I would get a lounge and I'd go up on the top deck about time that I thought it was time for you to preach." He said, "I figured about the time schedule." And he said, "I'd lay there on deck by myself." And he said, "I'd have given anything in the world if I could have been in one of your meetings." He said, "Pop, I literally wet my pillow more than one night wishing I could hear Mother pray like she prayed when I was at home." And he said, "Dad, whatever you do, don't you let up. You keep holding on." It wasn't too long till they transferred him to Honolulu. He'd gone about as high now in the Navy as he could go without being a commander. My brother-in-law and I flew out to Los Angeles. I boarded the Continental DC-10 the next morning, and when we were airborne, I wasn't interested in the music. I wasn't interested in the movie they were going to show. I got wrapped up, beloved, in my mission, and I got to thinking the reason I was going to Honolulu was to hold a revival in a little church at Eva Beach, Hawaii, where our son and his wife and our grandson attended. It's 5 hours and 15 minutes to Honolulu from Los Angeles. Beloved, I want to tell you, I don't think that in all the years of my Christian experience have I ever spent as much time at one time with the Lord, and it's such a short time. But I literally prayed through. God gave me the witness on that plane that day out over the ocean that He was going to give me my son. They gave us the normal greetings that they give everyone from the mainland. I'd hear him get on the phone and call his fellow officers and the others in the other branches of the service and tell them, "My dad's in town. I want you to come to hear him preach." We had such great fellowship. Larry didn't miss a service every night right there. But we came to Saturday night. Nothing had happened for him. But I noticed, beloved, that he got under conviction. He didn't talk much. The next morning he absented himself from the other part of the house and went back into the bedroom and stayed there till time to go to church. He didn't say much at the noon hour. And the enemy said to me, "What are you going to do if he doesn't get in? You said the Lord promised you that He'd save your boy." I said, "You just, well, get behind me. I believe God's going to do just exactly what He said He'd do." I packed my suitcases. My brother-in-law and I got ready, went to church. I brought my message, gave the invitation. And they sang one verse and nobody came. And then I said, "We're going to sing one more verse. If nobody comes, we're going to close." But I said, "Some of you had a lot of opportunities to pray. Some of you had a lot of opportunities to seek the Lord." When they started that second verse, and the lieutenant in the Air Force was the song leader, Our son left his seat back there and literally ran to that altar and draped himself over that mourner's bench. And his son came and knelt by him, and that lieutenant that was the song leader dropped his song book and came and knelt on one side of Larry. And a sergeant in the Marines came and knelt in front of him. Several others came to the altar, and I knelt there and I heard Larry as he prayed clear through to victory. And he got up and turned around to that congregation. He said, I'm not given to much speaking in public, but he said, I just want to tell you something's happened to me tonight. The first time in my life, I feel clean on the inside. The Lord's met my need. Listen, friend, I want to tell you, Larry, Kay, Marty, his family, loved God, walked with the Lord, retired from the Navy now, a computer expert in Maryland, and God blessing him beyond measure tonight. You see, friend, when you think about it, that's the reward of faith. And God wants to give us some of that reward here in the next 10 days. He said, it's necessary that I earnestly remind you or exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.